Hi, Liza. Mary. Hi.
Hi.
It's so good to be with everybody.
Yes.
Good morning. We're going to go ahead and begin our worship with words this morning that call us in from the Reverend Gretchen Haley. For all the promises we make, we never promise that your heart will not break. Brave, your heart could be brave, bold, bursting open, and be saved from the ache that sweeps all over all of life. We can only hope to bolster that bravery, quiet that ache
to the front.
Hope to be a community that listens to your story into being, becoming, whispering. It's not the end. Even now, the day breaks for us all. So let us gather, friends, with our restlessness, our release, our risk, grieving the pain, praising the good, giving thanks that we dare still wade into the waters of love and longing, that we keep moving and laughing, sighing and singing, holding the silence for this time. Come, let us worship together. It is so great to be together on this midsummer Sunday morning, imagining ourselves on retreat, sitting under the pavilion at Pine Song. We've got a treat today, I believe. Our retreat guest, Reverend Gretchen, and her family are visiting Pine Song right now, so we will be there. Let memories of times past and imagination of times to come fill our hearts. May this service fill us with beauty and inspiration, and may it bind us together this day. I am Katie Candarian Morris, the minister of the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Durango, and for the past 7 years, the host minister at our summer retreat. As we hope and act for a more just world, it is a balm when we're together, as we respond to the world's heartache with our liberal religious values. Our determination to create and uphold community is an essential gift in times of uncertainty. As Unitarian Universalists, our radical roots and history of self-motivated spiritual people who think for ourselves and recognize that personal experience influences our belief more than anything, the covenant we share gives rise to becoming people of love and trust. Let me tell you about our guest, who is actually staying this week at the cabin at Pine Song as a guest of the Carpenters, Reverend Gretchen Haley. And this is how it is described on the website at the church where she serves. Gretchen has an audacious ambition for the liberal church, believing in its capacity to transform lives and our world. She moved to Colorado from Washington State over 20 years ago for grad school in theater and knew immediately that she would never leave. She and her partner, Carrie, have two kids, Gracie and Joseph, who both relish and resent being PKs. If you're not familiar with that term, that's a preacher's kid. And I have some too. And who keep her grounded, frustrated, inspired, and humbled every day. She's obsessed with her dog, a large size mutt, Charlie, and I believe The family has also acquired a new puppy just to make things more fun. Gretchen is the lead minister at Foothills UU Church in Fort Collins, Colorado, and the congregation has been growing and thriving even more since her arrival there.
Hello, Durango, and all who are joining us for this special worship, this retreat worship, but not quite the retreat worship, just in the retreat setting. It's so good to be here with you, even though I can't be with you in person, to be able to be in this setting and offer this worship and be in worship with you this year. What a time we are living in, right? I mean, what an unprecedented time. At least that's the word that I keep hearing it described as, an unprecedented time, which of course in many ways is true, right? Like no one in my congregation, at least, and I'm guessing in many of yours, was alive in the 1918 pandemic, the Spanish flu. So that means that for pretty much all of us, this whole idea of a global pandemic is entirely new, let alone a pandemic where truth is so hard to pin down. And there isn't a sense of trust in public leaders or in each other. Yet with this equally unprecedented capacity to connect using technology like this, so we can really see how unprecedented all across the globe this really is for all of us. And yet, at the same time, over the past couple of months, I've started to remember a history. That is a history that is not my own life per se, but more a history of our collective lives. And it is a remembering in my bones, in my breath. I've started to remember that all of this is not entirely new. We have been here before. We've lived and struggled through what Margaret Wheatley described as enormous upheaval, dislocation, famines, and fears. We've had to counteract aggression, protect our loved ones, face the end of life as we've known it. We have lived and survived so many times where life itself felt like it was at risk, which means that in our collective memory, there also resides, maybe not the tangible clarity that many of us would prefer, but still the wisdom and the strength that is the resilience to meet this moment and to survive and thrive. Like many Unitarian Universalists, maybe some of you, I grew up Catholic. So the idea of connecting with like spiritual ancestors and a sense of their wisdom and getting their help, this is not new to me. Growing up, we of course called them saints. But still, as an adult, well, the lives and the lessons of the women and queer folks and the courageous actions of our Unitarian Universalist ancestors, well, all of these have been inspiring and bolstering. For a long time, these stories have also felt distinctly past tense, disconnected in any real way from me and us in the present here and now. But then, in the last few years, well, you know, the last few years, so much change and grief, nationally, globally, and for many of us, personally. Pema Chodron talks about this Tibetan word. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called Yi Teng Che. Yi, as in totally, completely. And the rest, exhausted. She says, Yi Teng Che describes an experience of being totally exhausted. That is an experience of hopelessness. And this is important, she says. because this is the beginning of the beginning. Without giving up hope, without reaching that point where you give up hope, we can never relax enough with where we are or who we are in order to make the space to become something else. In the past few years, I guess I, like maybe some of you, I've become pretty familiar with this idea and this experience of Yi Tang Che. Right? In the past few months, I've been there a lot. And while what I've learned about this place is how freeing it can be, right? Ironically so, how freeing it can be, how things that were previously blocked by my rational or skeptical brain can arrive instead as gifts. And one of these gifts that I've found is a new relationship with those ancestors. In the past few years, I've discovered that the people of the past need not remain past tense, but can be present here and connected in the now. It's like somehow when all of the tangible and the seen fails to make sense, fails to really feel helpful, then you can start to turn to what is unseen. When things fall apart, like one of Pema Chodron's books, we can more readily lean into mystery, its power, and its possibility. So I was fully in this place of Yi Tang Che in the fall of 2018 when I went on retreat to Ghost Ranch. I'm sure many of you here in this area are familiar with Ghost Ranch. I'd brought with me for this retreat my grandmother's rosary and the golden cross that had sat on her bedside as she lay dying. And I placed them, when the time came, on the shared altar for the retreat. The group of us there, we settled into time for meditation that was meant explicitly to connect actually with our ancestors. So I imagined, putting my grandmother's things there, that I would meet my grandmother in that meditation, hear her wisdom. She had been a nurse for returning soldiers in World War II, which is where she actually met my grandfather. And they together had 7 children. So she gave birth to 7 children. She gave birth to 7 children, 2 sets of twins, and her husband struggled with mental illness effects of the war. And still, she was a powerful leader in her church and in her community. I mean, she started her town's food bank. So I figured my grandmother, she must know a lot about survival and perseverance and continuing on. And so as I settled in, I decided to ask her, "Grandma, how do I keep going in the midst of this experience of total exhaustion and hopelessness?" So I settled into the silence, but instead of my grandma, another voice and another presence just came to me. Her name is the Reverend Anna Jane Norris. She was the circuit riding minister of the 1880s. You heard me right. 1880s, she preached up and down the wilderness of northern Colorado, trying to start a liberal church there. So it hit me as her name came to me in the meditation, how much resistance she must have felt in her ministry, how much derision, how familiar she must have been with Yi Tang Che. And yet somehow she kept going, until a church took hold in 1898. It became first the Unity Church, Unitarian, of Fort Collins, and eventually it changed its name to the Foothills Unitarian Church, the church that I serve today. And so instead of asking my grandma in the meditation, I asked Anna Jane, "How do I keep going?" And here's what she said to me. I wrote it down right after so I wouldn't forget. She said, "Everything that you are thinking about, all the things that you're stuck on, all the questions that are swirling, none of these are God. God is bigger than you know, bigger than what you can dream or imagine. I would have never imagined you," she said. "I could have never imagined this church that you serve today. I mean, it was impossible. And still somehow I was sure of it." even when there was nothing. There are dreams at work beyond your own, so keep going. Just keep going. You don't have to do everything. Someone will come next, and what you leave unfinished will be her calling. Just keep going. I've returned to Anna Jane's encouragement and her words and felt the sense of her presence so many times since then. I've felt her resilience as if it is my own. See, although we live in an unprecedented time, a deeper sense of precedence lives within us when we allow these histories, these stories to come alive in us. When we remember a resilience rooted not in our individual lives, but in our collective life, that is in life itself. When we remember that we are not actually alone in this moment, but we are part of a powerful history, unseen by our eyes, but still available in our bones, in our blood, in our DNA. Now, as we engage in such a collective resilience, this deeper resilience, I want to take a moment to just clarify what resilience actually means, because sometimes we can get off track in our ideas about resilience. So I have three principles to share about resilience that will help us kind of think about it as we continue to engage the idea of resilience. The first idea is resilience is radical acceptance. I like to start at this place that resilience is radical acceptance, because sometimes when we talk about resilience, and that meeting that yi tang che, you can start to think that resilience just means willing your way through it. That resilience is stubborn insistence and perpetual effort. But actually, resilience is the opposite. Resilience is about a kind of radical acceptance of the world, this moment, this life, and your place in it. Resilience is knowing that someone will come next. And resilience is about learning to give and receive in a kind of rhythm. It's such good news for right now, right? To know that whatever your days are, they're your days. And living in them, just as you are, however you are living in them, that's resilience. Which brings me to the second principle. That is that resilience is collective. We are taught that resilience is an individual effort that some people have and other people don't. But actually, resilience is created through community, through strong social supports that provide a place for both mutual aid and mutual accountability, as in relationships where people care about each other and where people can be real with each other about the pain and struggle that they are experiencing. And where the response is then in turn both comfort and care, and also the regular check-ins to make sure that we are all doing those things that we know will help us remain healthy, those spiritual and physical habits that help us to survive and thrive. Which brings me to the third point about resilience. Resilience is more than just surviving at all costs. As we look back and think about our collective experiences of resilience, our histories, some of the wisdom that we inevitably invoke is about the ways that our ancestors really screwed up, right? I mean, for a lot of us, we need to wrestle with the ways that our ancestors survived by making sure that other people's ancestors didn't. This is a really important way, an important lesson, especially for today when we're thinking about who's being asked to save the economy, for example. We need to pay attention to how we are surviving and what and who we are willing to sacrifice along the way. Because we know that some of the coping techniques of survival that we inherit today, these are not really life-giving, but life-destroying. And so what are the habits that we're cultivating that we will pass on to those who come next? And how do we want to say later that we survived? By what means? And with what values at the center? and with whose stories at the center. Because life today is so profoundly interdependent. Some people right now would like to assert their independence, but we are so facing our interdependence. So there are always consequences to manage. Resilience must always be a matter of finding those things that aid our mutual adaptation, coordination, and cooperation, even in the midst of life's perpetual disruption and change. So in the coming months, and as the pandemic continues and the election season really heats up, I invite us all to lean in to these principles of resilience. Resilience as radical acceptance, resilience as collective, and resilience as more than survival at all costs. And notice how they are playing out in your life, here and now, in how we are persevering, how we are thriving together, so that in these days we can allow every weary moment, every moment of beauty, every moment where we feel totally exhausted, every moment where we are filled with joy, every moment where we're struggling to find hope, all of these to be the places where we can open ourselves even more to the power of this mystery. Perhaps we might say, God, that is so much bigger than what we can imagine, so much bigger than our worries, and also so much bigger than our dreams. That is the life that is far beyond what we can see. Amen. And so many blessings.
Thank you, Gretchen. Before John shares the music for our offertory, I just want to say it might look somewhat familiar to you because it took place, the singing took place at our Pine Song, our Four Corners retreat, 2018. So that was only 2 years ago. So let us listen.
We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change alive from deep within the earth. It is time now, it is time for that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is time now, and what a time to be alive. And this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. We shall be known by the company we keep, by the ones who circle round to tend these fires. We shall be known by the ones who sow and reap the seeds of change alive from deep within the earth. It is time now. It is time now that we thrive. It is time we lead ourselves into the well. It is now, and what a time to be alive. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love. In this great turning we shall learn to lead in love.
Let us extinguish our chalice. Ken?
As I extinguish this challenge, I'm thinking of the wonderful thing this retreat has been. It's been a bittersweet day today. For Lois and I are here at Pine Song, and you are not. The retreat has been an important part of our personal lives, as it has been for the life of this church. And I think it's contributed significantly to the growth and development of the church. we feel that it's important to note that at our first retreat, there were 20 members of this fellowship, and now there are over 170. Wow. It's been a wonderful time, and we love all of you and miss you.
Thank you, Ken and Lois. Thank you for your beautiful hospitality. The little girl named Hush Puppy from the film Beasts of the Southern Wild told us, when you're a small piece of a big puzzle, you gotta fix what you can. More than we think, we are born resilient, not so far off from Hush Puppy, and we carry it with us through life. May you take something from this day to add to your ordinary magic. Go in peace.